will read the Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Hey, Steve, why don't you take him in the back? Could you, Michael, go in the back. Alex, go in the back. Go in the back with him. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read the first 13 verses. Did you find it? Why don't we stand, if you can, in honor of God's Word? Only if you can. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others said, "Ah, they are filled with new wine." This is God's Word. Amen? Why don't you have a seat, please? Heavenly Father, once again, as we come to you dependently, realizing that as a speaker, nothing I can do here should be done in my own strength. It certainly wouldn't produce the fruit that you anticipate your Word to produce. And so I humbly come before you and ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. As listeners, Lord, we also realize that in and of ourselves, we wouldn't understand it. We wouldn't even know how to begin to apply this passage to our lives. And so fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can obey you and apply this not only to our lives individually, but our lives to us corporately as a church. We thank you for your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Remember, now we're back in the book of Acts. We just did a mini-series in the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. Now we're back in the book of Acts, which this will be our ninth Sunday in the book of Acts. The theme that I've chosen to develop in the book of Acts is that God is glorified when His Son Jesus is magnified. God is glorified when His Son Jesus is magnified, and that is only done through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is not something we can do in and of ourselves. That is a God thing that the Holy Spirit produces in the body called the church. And remember, the first chapter we reviewed, the first couple of verses were Acts is primarily about Jesus Christ. It's the continuing work of Jesus Christ. Luke, who wrote Acts, began the book of Luke, which is volume 1. Acts is chapter is volume 2. Luke started in the book of Luke, telling us all that Jesus Christ did and taught. And Acts is a continuation of the life of Jesus Christ here on earth. Not his physical body, no longer present, because he went up to be with heaven, but now his spiritual body as the church. And so Jesus continues to work in our midst through the Holy Spirit and through each and one of us. And the world sees that Jesus Christ is alive by what we do and teach. And in the second couple of verses, we talked about how God in the Old Testament had prophesied, and Jesus in his life had promised that the Holy Spirit would come and this Holy Spirit would establish his church. Next couple of verses in Acts, verses 6 to 8, Jesus Christ promises that in a few days his disciples would receive power when the Holy Spirit came back. He said, I'm going to have to go. I'm not going to be with you anymore, but it's a good thing that I go, because if I don't go, guess who's not coming? Who's not coming? Holy Spirit. He says, in a few days he's going to come, he's going to descend, and you're going to receive power. And the power God is going to give you through his Holy Spirit is so that you will be what? Witnesses. Not witnesses in a restricted sense only to Jerusalem or Judea. Remember, the Jews had a very limited vision about the kingdom of God. They thought it was restricted to Israel. Okay, we're God's chosen people. But Jesus says, no, it's going to, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and you're going to be witnesses where? All over the world! To the utmost ends. And how do we know that promise came true? How do we know the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the disciples received the Holy Spirit, and they became witnesses to the utmost part of the world? What is the very practical way that we know that promise came true? We're here. We're to the ends of the world, folks. We think the ends of the world are Africa, Egypt, or whatever. No, we're the ends of the world. And we have the Holy Spirit in our midst here this morning. And then we talked about at the end of the chapter, that God's people, the people of God, they were committed, they were credible witnesses. The message that they were going to speak forth had authority, not only because it came from God, but because their lives were credible. They were believable witnesses because they had seen the resurrected Christ. So what are we doing here? Jesus, I know what we're doing here, but what are we doing here in the book of Acts? Okay? Jesus had died 40 days earlier. He had risen from the dead. He had proven himself alive by various means. He had appeared to his disciples. He had gone up to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, and he tells his disciples to wait. And they've been waiting. They're not afraid. They're not huddled in a mass like they were after the crucifixion, where they were afraid and all that stuff. They were praising God, worshiping in the temple, in the house, and they've been waiting for 10 days. 10 days. The Holy Spirit still hasn't come. 10 days. 10 days can be a long time, especially if you're waiting for your birthday, or waiting for a present, or waiting for the closing on your home, which we still are, or Christmas, or your wedding, or whatever. So they're waiting 10 days. So this is the context that we find ourselves in Acts 2, verses 1. So when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. So these 12 disciples, along with all the disciples, all the followers of Jesus Christ in that area. There were more disciples of Jesus Christ that lived in Galilee. But in Jerusalem right now, there's about 120 people, and they're in one place. They're in a house. Okay, the text says it. Verse, I think, 2 it says. They're in a house. They're all together. They're waiting. And just so happened, just a coincidence, that it happened to be the day of Pentecost. What is Pentecost? Well, it was actually the Jewish calendar. It was a feast. It was called the Feast of Weeks, or Feast of First Fruits, or Feast of Harvests. This was instituted by Moses, by God, given to Moses in Leviticus 23. If you want to look at it later, write down Leviticus 23 and you can read it. Okay, it happened 50 days after Passover. This has happened. God instituted this 1,500 years before this. Do you think it's a coincidence that God would send the Holy Spirit on a Jewish festival? Do you think it's a coincidence that it's the day of Pentecost, yes or no? No. We know it's not because he mentions it. And all Scripture is given to what? To teach us, to inspire us, to give us hope, to train us into righteousness. And so we need to know something about this day of Pentecost, this day of harvest. What is it? Well, it was a festival where all the Jews would come to Israel. Okay, Jews from all over. Remember, in Haggai, we learned that a part of the Jewish people had come back to Jerusalem, but a lot of people stayed in those countries where they had been dispersed. Okay, and we read some of those countries. And so there's Jews all over. But because it's a holy feast, it's one of the three primary feasts, they would make their way back to Jerusalem. And some people, some commentators say it was probably the most well-attended feast because the weather was the nicest. Okay? Passover which is Easter, we understand. It can snow, right? Well, this is a little later. This is about 50 days later, maybe May, June, something like that. The weather was nicer, so it was easier for people to come back to Jerusalem. So all these people are coming back. It was a feast where they would celebrate the first crops, the first barley crops that would come in. They had planted their fields, and they had already harvested some of their barley. And they're together because they're praising God, realizing that God is the one that gives them crops, right? And so they're praising God and saying, okay, God, we got some of it, but we know that you're going to provide a lot more. Some of this barley has come in, but we're going to get a lot more. And this is important when we think about what is happening here. It's the first fruits of what God is going to do. We're not celebrating just a little bit we got, but we're celebrating what? What we're going to get. And they would make two pieces of bread with leaven. With leaven, what's leaven? Yeast. That's unusual because most of the Jewish Passovers, they would make their bread with what? Without leaven, so they would have it and they would wave it. Okay? So they're all together on the day of Pentecost. And we'll try to tie all this in later on, okay? Verse 2. And suddenly, that's an important word, suddenly, because it's not something they were expecting. They were waiting. But all of a sudden, wow! Did you know I was going to yell? Yes or no? Did you know I was going to yell? Some of you jumped. You didn't know. All of a sudden, they were doing something. What were they doing? What was their position at the end of... End of verse 2, what were they doing? Well, they might have been praying, but what were they doing at the end of verse 2? Sitting. Okay, they were just sitting. Now, Jews usually prayed in two positions. Standing up, or what? Kneeling, or facing. They were prostrate on their knees. Sitting wasn't usually a position of prayer. Doesn't mean they didn't, but usually it wasn't. And so he says they were sitting. So they're probably just talking, shooting the breeze. Maybe they're eating. But all of a sudden, something happens. And so they weren't praying, oh Lord, send us your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's coming wasn't a product of their prayers. It was a product of God's sovereign decree that this is when he's coming. And a lot of people today think, you know, if you just work yourself up and all this kind of stuff, the Holy Spirit will just send. But I think he's telling us it's just a sudden, it's a God's prerogative to send his Holy Spirit on that day. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Okay, there's no doubt that this wind came from heaven. Okay? The author, Luke, wants us to make sure we understand that this is a heaven thing. This is a God thing. This isn't a man thing. No, it wasn't this sound, loud sound. It wasn't wind. It wasn't all kinds of things moving around. And it was just a large sound. So they wanted us to know, the author wanted us to know that it came from heaven. It was a God thing. It wasn't like, oh, you know, somebody must be moving their furniture. Oh, yeah, there was a big train over there. You know, there was a wreck, you know, out in the middle of the road. And that's where the sound comes. No, no, no. It comes from heaven. I've never been in a tornado. Have you ever been in a tornado? Yeah? I hear it's pretty wicked, the sound. Wicked in a... You know, when I say wicked, that's not evil, but, you know, sort of like bad, being good, all that kind of stuff, you understand? So I don't know if it was a tornado or not. It doesn't say it was a tornado, but a sound of a mighty rushing wind. You want me to make the sound effects? All that kind of stuff. Okay? Really, really... loud noise. And what is it? Where is this sound happening? Look at the text. Where is this sound happening? In the house. Okay? It doesn't say it filled the neighborhood. Right? It doesn't say it filled the city. Didn't say it filled Judea. It looks like, according to the text, that it was restricted to that house. They heard a loud house. A loud house. A loud noise. Reminds me of one time when I was a manager in a supermarket, and we were all sitting around in our lunch break in the office. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud. I mean, it was such a loud noise. I went, because I wasn't expecting it. You know what it was? Anybody? It was a gun. A little kid had gotten a gun. This is the boss. He's a friend of mine. Remember? He had gotten a gun and he shot it in the office. And it went right about this far away from my head, right here. But the sound was so loud. But no one heard it outside. And thank the Lord, I'm not dead. I had brain damage, obviously. No, I didn't. And I can't hear you, Megan. No, that's not true either, okay? And suddenly there came a loud sound, might have filled the entire house. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Now, it's not fire, but it looks like fire. The author is describing it. They don't know what to describe it, so it looks like fire. It looks like tongues. It's also coming from heaven. It's a God thing. Fire was also often associated with God. Remember Moses and the burning bush? Bush. Slow down. And these tongues of fire come down and rest on each one of those present. How many were present? 120 at least. And so it's resting on every one. So whatever it is, it's coming down and it's resting on each one of them. And they're probably thinking, what's going on here? You know? Oh, Peter, there's a tongue over your head. Well, yeah, well, John, you have one over your head too. Oh, James, look at you. You have one over your head too. And so this is all happening at one time. And who sees it? Who sees these tongues of fire? Look at the text. What does it say? Does it appear to everyone in the city? Is everybody seeing these tongues of fire coming on? No. It's to those who are 120 in presence. So right up to now, everything that is happening to them is sort of restricted to this house. Loud noise, tongues of fire. It's going on outside of them. Nothing's happened on inside except for maybe the fear and the amazement and confusion, all that kind of stuff. But they're probably thinking, what's going on here? Something different is happening here, right? Wouldn't you think? Now, what would you do if you were in a house and all of a sudden there's a loud noise and you see tons of fire coming on? What would you do? What would your natural inclination be? Run? Okay, yeah. We live sort of in the country, and some of you might do that. But do the lights ever go off in your house? What do? Nothing? Okay. I always want to know if it's off at what? At the neighbors. Don't you want to know that? Is this going on every place? Or is this restricted just to our one little thing here? I want to know that. The text doesn't say that, but it sort of implies that, and I think this is probably what happened, that they're probably going outside now. Wondering, is this going on every place? And I'll tell you why, okay? Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let's get focused here, okay? And they all received what? Holy Spirit. That's the point of the story, folks. It's not the sound. It's not the tongues of fire. It's not the fact they were speaking in other tongues. It's the point that what? They received the Holy Spirit. Hadn't Jesus promised them that they would receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. And so let's not forget the point. We sort of go over that little phrase, and they received the Holy Spirit, and we concentrate on all the evidences. But the good news is what? That they received the Holy Spirit. And we folks have the Holy Spirit today. This Holy Spirit that continued the work of Jesus Christ in that early church continues to work today. Let's not get up with all the evidences and the signs. We have the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in this particular happening, what did they begin to do? Speak in tongues. And it's not gibberish. Okay? It was the Greek word, glossia, which is what? Known languages. It was languages that were known. And I could show off and speak to you in another language. But no one would understand it except for my son here, right? And I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm not going to speak in Portuguese. Okay, but they were speaking in language that they did not know. Can you imagine that? So this is the scene. All this comes out. They start speaking in languages. And it's not gibberish. God is putting these things into his word. He says, as the Spirit gave utterance. We're going to talk about that a little bit. What do you think the Holy Spirit was making them say? Do you think he was saying, well, how are you doing, Dave? You hanging in there all right? Did you watch the games last night? Do you think that's what they were saying in foreign languages? Yes or no? No. What was the Holy Spirit's role in giving us the scriptures? To make Jesus known. And the Holy Spirit spoke scriptures to men. And so if this Holy Spirit is directing these people to speak, what do you think they are speaking? They are speaking scripture. Scripture that has already been inspired. They're probably speaking Old Testament scriptures. Okay? There's 120 of them. They're wondering, what's going on here? You know, is it just restricted to this little house here that we have here? Probably not. And they start going out. They start going out in the streets and they start talking. Look what happens in verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Luke is telling us now, you know, this thing that was restricted to this little house is going to go what? It's going to go worldwide. It's going to go global, folks. He's setting them up. He's setting us up. He's setting us up to a global type of happening. Now, Steve Jobs, I believe, didn't he invent his Apple and then like in his garage or something? Yeah? And is it global? Yeah, it is. But it's a man-made type of thing, right? He did some marketing and all that kind of stuff. And now when you want a computer, you want an Apple. You don't want a Windows PC. You want an Apple. I guess you don't. What do you want, a Samsung? Whatever it is now. But Luke is telling us that this thing that was restricted to that little house is going to go global, and he tells us they were devout men. Why were those devout men there? Just happened to be there on that. Why? Because God had ordained it 1,500 years before that they should be there because of this Feast of Harvest. Okay? Verse 6. And at this sound, the multitude came toward together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Now, what sound did they hear that drew them all together? What do you think? We just read it. What sound do you think they heard? The wind? How many agree with Evan? They think it was the wind. Okay, Anna's got a vote, and everybody else is not going to vote. Anybody have another idea? What sound did they hear that drew them all together? The wind? Well, actually, this word for sound, and I might be wrong. I've been wrong before. But this word is different than the sound in verse 2. This word is actually the Greek word phony. Not phony like fake, but phone. P-H-O-N-E. Phone. You know? It's the word for voice. So what sound brought these people all together? It was the speaking in tongues. And so this is why I think they were probably outside. Because they began speaking. And if you know, if you've ever been in a foreign country, if you know anything about Jerusalem, narrow streets, windows open, doors open, flat roofs, people just walking all around, street vendors, just a crowd of people. It's not like, you know, Lebanon where everybody sort of stays in their one little, you know, room type of thing, or you have 600,000 yards between you and your neighbor, all that kind of thing, you know. They're walking out, and they're speaking, and somebody's buying some tomatoes, and he hears this guy speaking, and he's speaking in, somebody's speaking in my language. And that we often get that Portuguese, you know, you go to a mall here in the States or something like that, and you hear somebody speaking in Portuguese, is that Portuguese or Spanish? And you get a little closer and you're sort of like, you know, shopping here, you know. And you hear it's Portuguese and you look at him and say, oh, what's that? But I said, man, I spoke in Portuguese, I'm sorry. You know. And I think that's what's happening. They're hearing their voices. And in a little city like that, what's happening? The news is getting spread all around. Hey, you won't believe it. go tell John that I met somebody here that speaks my language. And so he's running here, and he's running here, and all these people are running, and they're getting all these people, and they're all coming together because everybody's speaking their own language. Right? You get the picture? And there's an excitement. First of all, there's a confusion. That's what the verse says. There's a confusion. I think, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. But then there's amazement. Because I believe, probably, as they're in these streets and they're probably moving along, because the crowd's growing, and so they're moving. And where are they moving? They're probably moving in the direction of the temple, because this house isn't too far away from the temple. How do I know that? Trust me. I could take a long time to explain it. But because of the Sabbath day journey in 1:12, we know that it's probably because Jesus went up to Bethany, went up to heaven in Bethany, and the Sabbath day journey would take them just to the vicinity of the temple. So this house is probably there. And I believe probably, the text I think implies it, that there's little groups. You know, if I'm I need, and I hear my tongue, I hear my language being spoken, things about God, and I'm a devout Jew, I'm going to want to listen to the guy speaking what? Me! Right? I'm not going to want to listen to the guy speaking Persian or Pamphylian or Egyptian or Arabic, am I? Because I'm not going to understand it. So I'm going to form a little group here around this disciple that's telling me things that I want to hear, or telling me things I need to hear. And there's a little group over here, and a little group over here, and a little group over here, and all kinds of these little groups, and people shoving. And what a wonderful event. Okay. And at this time, the multitude came together, verse 6, and they were bewildered, because each was hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, and they are saying now, these are Galileans. You know, later on in Acts, they talk about these Galileans, these followers of disciples, and they said they're uneducated. These people who knew who these folks were, they'd been in the temple for 10 days praising God, and they're saying, yeah, those are the followers of Jesus. Now, they speak funny. They're from Galilee. Or maybe they're not very educated. And all of a sudden, they're speaking in my language, and I can hear them. And I don't believe they spoke with an accent. Because since it was the Holy Spirit empowering them, I believe they spoke perfectly the language, without an accent, of these people. And then it says, how is it that we hear each of these in his own language? And then that long list of names, their countries. And I learned something from Evan last week, and I'm going to share it with you. Actually, I didn't learn this, but Luke begins with the far eastern countries. Eastern, and he heads west. Starts east, and he heads west. Why does he do that? Well, that was the habit back then. That's where the sun rose. Rose in the east. They didn't have compasses. How do we do things now? North to south. Well, they did it from east to west. And so he starts from east to west, and he lists all the countries that were there. Okay? So this is exciting. And both Jews and proselytes were whom? They were Gentiles that had converted to Judaism, not to Christianity, but they had converted to Judaism. So they were Gentiles. Verse 11, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So God has directed them through the Holy Spirit, the disciples, what to say. And they're not speaking gibberish, they're speaking no language, and they're speaking about the mighty works of God. And I believe that they were probably, because the Holy Spirit directed men of old to speak or write down, register the mighty works of God in the Old Testament, I believe they were speaking Scripture. Scripture that they had memorized. Very, very important that we memorize Scripture. Very, very important. Because if these people hadn't memorized Scripture, now, could the Holy Spirit have put in Scripture in their mind, like it was blank, and he put it in their mind and they just spoke it? Could he have done that? Yes, he could have. Could he give you the answer on a test that you didn't study for, young person? Could he? Tell you, okay, blah, 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 what's the answer? Well, Holy Spirit, give me the answer. And he could put it there, right? But is that how he usually works? How does he usually work? You have to study. And then you can say, Lord, help me to remember what I've, what? Studied. And I think this is what's happening here. The Holy Spirit is putting in their minds the right words in a foreign language of something that they already knew. The Scripture. And I was leafing through my Bible, and I think I came up with a psalm that possibly, I won't swear on it, but possibly a psalm that they recited. Why don't you go with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And you think, oh man, Ken, that's, you're going to read that whole psalm? No. And you think, oh, come on, they didn't know that whole psalm by heart. Oh yeah, they did. A lot of these psalms, these devout men of Israel, they would memorize. Well, I'll start reading the verses. You know that a Jewish lad, by the time he was 13, help me out, the whole first five books of the Bible memorized. What do? How many hours do we spend on the computer and TV and what if you spend 7.5 hours a day memorizing God's Word? Okay, that's not the point of the message, okay? But I believe they were speaking the great words of God, and it was words that they already knew that God gave them to speak at that time in a foreign language. Look at some of the verses, okay? Verse 4 and 5. We will not hide from their children, but tell to coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might, and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel when He commanded our fathers to teach their children. Verse 7 and 8. So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Verse 13. He divided the sea and let them pass through it and made the water stand like a heap. Verse 14. In the daytime He led them with a cloud, and at night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. Verse 20, 22. He struck the rocks so that the water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can He also give bread or provide meat for His people? Verse 27. He rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the sea. Verse 37. Their heart was not steadfast toward Him. They were not faithful to His covenant. Verse 38, yet He, being compassionate, atoned for the iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained His anger often and did not stir up His wrath. Verse 41, they tested God again and again and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power or the day when He redeemed them from the foe. And the text goes on. But they are speaking God's word to these devout men, and they knew it. They had memorized it. Go back with me to Acts 2 now. And so these disciples, these 120, are making big. They're making God very, very big in the minds of these at least 3,000 people that had formed little groups around these disciples speaking in other languages. There's no doubt about it in these people's minds that the focus is not the tongues. There's no doubt about it that the focus wasn't the sound, it wasn't the fire coming down from heaven. It was the fact that God was present in their midst by the speaking of His word. Remember what Luke was about? It was about what Jesus did and said. You tell me, what two senses are needed to experience something that somebody does or something that somebody says? What two senses? hearing and sight. Right? What did they hear in that upper room? What was the first thing they heard? What was the first sense that they were challenged? What sense was challenged first? Their hearing. And then what after that when the tongues came down? Their sight. And so Luke is telling all of his audience, Jesus is continuing to do and say. Verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? And so they're asking, what does it mean? This is amazing. What does it mean? Now, some people try to eliminate God from this whole mixture. Everything that was going on, it had to be a God thing. And some people said what? Oh, it's not God. What do they say it is? Swine. They're drunk. They tried explaining away God from all that he had just done today. Well, what does it mean? Well, Peter is going to preach a whole sermon telling the people what this all means. And so if you want to know what it means, guess what? You're going to have to come back next week and see what it means. But just a few applications before we end, okay? God is fulfilling his promises. He sets up at the right date. He sends his Holy Spirit. Jesus is fulfilling his promises to send the Holy Spirit. And it arrived in full on the day of Pentecost. We have that same Holy Spirit. The evidences might not be the same, but we're not going to get hung up on that today. We'll talk about tongues some other time when we go to Corinthians. But the fact that if you're a child of God, you have his Holy Spirit in you. The second thing. This was the festival of harvests. The people were thankful for the little bit of barley that they had received already and were expressing praise to God for what would come in. What's happening here? Well, the disciples are sort of like the first fruits. They're the first ones saved, 120. And God is saying, you know what? This 120 is just like those two baked loaves of bread. And God is going to bring in a harvest so big, so great, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that you guys will be flabbergasted. You'll be amazed. The little bit of amazement that you felt on the day of the Pentecost is nothing compared to the amazement that you will sense in a couple hours when 3,000 get saved. And is God still bringing in the harvest? He is. You know what? In Revelation 7:9, it says that before the throne there will be so many people there that you won't even be able to what? Anybody know? Too many to count! All because the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And we are a part of that. God has given us His same Holy Spirit power to be what? Witnesses to all the world. So God is fulfilling His promises. And as remarkable as it may seem to speak in tongues, that's not the main issue. The main issue is that God, through His Holy Spirit, indwells each and every one of us. And Christ Jesus is continuing to do and teach through His church. Two questions for you. Application. How easy is it for you when you see God working in our midst to just blow it off? Like those people said, well, it's just an alcohol problem. How is it as easy for you it is when you hear the Word of God spoken and preached and you see it lived out, and you just sort of blow it off? Yeah, that's not for me. That's for those guys over there. That's just a little weird. You know, they're super committed. Not me. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for Holy Spirit that came 2,000 years ago on that special day to fill those 120 people with the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are still working in our midst today. Help us to be students of your word so that the Holy Spirit can use your word in our hearts and on our tongues, Lord, to lead others so they can too be part of the harvest of what you are doing in this world. Lord, forgive us for the many, many times when we hear the word of God spoke and taught and we just sort of blow it off. Now may your Holy Spirit, who lives, is present here this morning and lives in each one of our hearts, Lord, may he guide and direct us in all things and teach us to apply these wonderful truths in our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.